This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello and welcome back to Sunday Supplement.
Check it out.
Yeah, the world did actually end last week.
Well, I don't see how it could be considering they haven't started the experiments yet.
Well, it did actually end when they switched on the Large Hadron Collider. And what the government-controlled media isn't telling us is that the world was destroyed and sucked into a parallel universe. And the only difference in the parallel universe is that the Large Hadron Collider didn't destroy the world.
Wow, that's deep.
It's deep, man. That's what happened. I bet that's what's going to be said by the people who said it was going
to
end.
The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, which is a podcast which is excellent. If you like podcasts, listen to it. They were talking about transforming yourself. No, what's the word? Beaming. You know, like in Star Trek.
Transporters.
Yeah, like beaming transporters. And how if you could turn somebody into data and then replicate them elsewhere, what that would actually be would be you'd kill the original person and then replicate the exact person there. And I was thinking in Star Trek, they probably don't realise this because if you're replicated exactly to the very last atom, exactly as you were before, even though you're a brand new object, you'd still have exactly the same memories and you probably wouldn't realise that you'd killed yourself. And therefore, Jean-Luc Picard, every time he goes into a thing, kills himself. And there's thousands of clones of Jean-Luc Picard. And imagine capturing them all and greasing their heads.
Putting them on an island.
Yeah.
It could, like, go and visit them.
Well, Jean-Luc Picard's, they do sort of breed on cliffs, like seagulls. But occasionally you have to be careful because they get attacked by wolves.
You mean wharfs?
No, I mean aged gladiators.
They live on wharfs as well.
They do. And they go, ah.
Right. So what paper have you bought this week?
Partly because I think we were very unfair to The Independent last week. I decided it couldn't be that bad because I'd won with it the week before, so I decided to go with it again. So I got The Independent. Throw your hands up at me.
I got the Sunday Express.
You always get that one. You always get it because you want a pizza.
No, I got it because it's got a big thing across the top saying 20p cheaper than the mail. Now, I don't know if they mean it's cheaper financially or cheaper in a kind of hack journalist manner. Probably both.
Well, I'd say it's very difficult to be cheaper than the mail.
Right.
I've just got a whole, like, because there's these little blue-footed, well, they're called, they're large blue-footed booby babies that you get.
What?
The blue-footed booby is a type of seagull that shares its cliffs with Jean-Luc Picard.
Right, I see.
And I have the phrase blue-footed booby baby in my head. And Jean-Luc Picard looking very confused and trying to get some raw fish off a seagull.
Is the call of the Picard, make it so, make it so.
Number one.
Possibly the geekiest introduction to our podcast ever.
We'll
see you on the other side of the music. Right, we're on the other side of the music now.
Thank God for that.
But if you think about it, there must also be a colony of Kirks.
No, he has a burrow.
Oh, he lives in burrows. Yeah, yes. Of course he does. What am I thinking?
Where he makes his music.
He mates with Spock.
No, he does
yeah,
not.
Yeah, no, that's the only two.
Really does not.
Yeah, no, that's how they make Chekhovs.
They do not make Chekhovs like that.
That's how Chekhovs are made. Anyway, I'm going to cut something out of my paper thing this week. I think you're not.
Oh, yeah. With scissors?
No. Cut out in the sense of I'll put it in the bin.
Along with the rest of the paper?
Yeah.
Why do you get the Express? I don't understand.
To be honest, I've been sort of opting for the tabloidy ones recently because they're just a little bit less work. It's less to read of them. It's a pure laziness. Yeah, it's a laziness issue.
We're meant to be providing the nation with which newspapers they should have bought, and you go for laziness. I'm going to make you do the Times next week.
Anyway, smooth operator. Ever wanted to be one of those people who always gets what they want without even trying? Actually, it's a lot easier than it looks. And apparently, the best way to be successful and good-looking and charming is to fake body language.
No. That, this is, like, totally weird, right? Because I've got in my Independent this week. It's part two of the Love and Sex fortnight.
Right.
And it's a seduction. And it goes all the way from, like, attraction seduction, consummation, marriage, taboos and tolerance, desire, romance and passion, fantasies and fetishes. That's next Saturday, so I might get that one. Men and women, culture and love, heartbreak, all the way through a couple of weeks like that. Yeah. Different themed little glossy booklets. And the one I was going to talk about this week was called The Art of the Pickup. They're the new big thing, dating gurus who claim to be able to seduce any woman they fancy. So this is very similar, because yours is talking about how to be charming, get on with people, and mine's talking about pulling any woman you want.
Is yours like speed seduction? And
it's the London Seduction Society.
Oh, God.
It's basically using tricks and, well, they say it's neuro-linguistic programming, which I'm a bit sceptical of.
Yes, speed seduction apparently uses NLP, and basically anyone who wants to sell anything just says it's NLP and people believe them. This podcast is NLP.
It is. If you listen to this podcast enough, you'll probably end up wanting very much to go to the north of Scotland and see if you can spy any Jean-Luc Picards.
The best way to be interesting and charming, I reckon, is just to be interesting and charming. Not to count how many times someone is nodding per minute at what you say. They actually use the phrase NPM, which is nods per minute. If you're not getting a nod every 10 seconds, you're not being interesting enough.
There is a Parkinson's joke, which I'm not going to do, but just let's say it's been done.
It also says you should make contact with everyone in a lighthouse manner. Make sure you're not too distant. Make sure your smile is there but not too fake. Don't beak your handshake. And it gives you a list of all these different things. If you were actually to try and do them, you'd be really self-conscious, like robotic. And I think people who tend to do all this stuff naturally, I always find them to be quite false.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's one of the things where all these people that I actually very much dislike, like, you know, dictators, certain politicians, Well, not you, Simon.
Oh. You're saying I'm not charming?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, they are all very charming people, and the fact that they use their charm for bad is not good. But I've got the 10 best seduction techniques.
Oh, God.
It's listed in my thing. Oh, yeah.
Is one of them to wear a cape and a sword and dismount a horse?
No. Number 7 is smile. It's quite nice. It all seems, you know, give first date butterflies, which I think will be quite difficult, really.
Give them butterflies?
I know, it's very difficult to transport butterflies, and I just think that's
Does it mean give them butterflies in the stomach? How can you even if that's what it means, how can you do that? Like, what, you've got to put bicarbonate of soda in their wine? I don't really... Ooh, got butterflies. No, I think you'll find that's flatulence.
It says here that you don't have to go skydiving, but a little shared danger is a proven aphrodisiac, so threaten to rape them. But no, they suggest a scary movie is a good idea.
Right.
But the best one, the number 1 of the list, is sticky eyes.
What?
Make sure you have sticky eyes. So basically, just get some treacle, rub them into your retinas, and that is pure sex.
That's gross.
Maintain eye contact is what they mean.
What I would do is bring them the egg of a Jean-Luc Picard. Because they're quite rare.
Well, they're not that rare. I mean, to be fair, occasionally a Kinder Surprise really does freak a child out.
So basically our papers this week are all about lying.
Should we change the subject? Yeah, because it's quite depressing. Have you heard of an author called James Patterson?
Yes.
Would it surprise you to know that he outsells Dan Brown, J.K. Rowling, and like one of the others put together?
Yeah, no, that doesn't surprise me.
He doesn't describe himself as a writer.
What does he describe himself as? A seducer?
I like to scribble. I quite like him because he's basically saying, yeah, I can write good sentences, and what I do sometimes is either I come up with the story and get somebody else to write it, or I improve somebody else's story. So it's always Jack Patterson and thingy. And he sells himself as a brand, and it's really, really capitalist, but really, really quite charming at the same time.
If you say so.
No, he is, I swear.
He's probably one of those people who walks into a room, makes eye contact with everyone.
He's not.
Doesn't offer a limp handshake.
He's really not. He's quite down to earth.
Good.
And a bit sort of like, yeah, he's just sort of like, yeah, you know, I'm not a great writer, but, you know. And he works very... Gets up at 5:30 a.m.
Oh, don't talk to me about a work ethic.
Yeah, look, this is what holding you back, you know.
My lack of work ethic. and talent.
Well, you know, there's not much you can do about the talent.
So basically, we can't really decide on a winner of Cut, Out and Keep because we've got the same article.
That is true, but I've got James Patterson.
All right, you win. It's time to play Article or Farcical. That's
yes.
When Izzy manages to make me look and feel inferior.
Well, I point out the truth.
Yeah, like a big, pointy truth-seeking...
Like the nose of Jean-Luc Picard, snuffling out a raw fish on the...
We need to stop talking about a colony of Jean-Luc Picards now.
Oh, but imagine it. I bet there is one out there. The world is big enough. In a Norwegian fjord, there will be some. Just cawing at the other gulls. So, yes, I've got some articles which I found in The Independent and its supplements. And one of them I've made up, and the other's all genuine articles.
Are any of them about Jean-Luc Picard?
Perhaps. Perhaps it's all been a wheeze, so I can sneak in a Jean-Luc Picard reference. But no, none of them, I'm afraid, are about Jean-Luc Picard.
Okay.
Crosswords deserve to die.
Yes, they bloody well do. I hate the bastard things. Are they technically alive, though? I mean, I know cars are alive, but...
Oh, my God.
Crosswords
we're not gonna start
can't
this again.
Be alive. They can't be alive. Anything you can draw on... isn't alive.
We need more doubt, but I could be wrong.
Oh, God. Why do we need more doubt?
This is one of the comments. I didn't read it.
All right.
Can you dig it? Which is about allotments. And Britain's only female Spitfire pilot on gallantry and goats.
Current Spitfire pilot or old Spitfire pilot?
She looks a bit old.
Right. So crosswords do deserve to die. Whether or not that's article or farcical, it's just a truism. It's as true as Jean-Luc Picard will stay with his eggs.
And defend them against Klingons.
So article for crosswords. That doubt is just a rubbish pun. Well, it's not even a pun, is it? It's just rubbish. So article. Dig it about allotments. Well, people do have allotments, and a lot of people I know are getting allotments. So
why are the people you know getting allotments?
Because they want to plant things and attract Jean-Luc Picards.
You can't attract Jean-Luc Picards to allotments. They need four icy cliff faces.
I was going to say they're cliff dwellers, but they just won't listen. All they're going to get is a load of Deanna Troys. They're not thinking it through.
Just feeling the ground, saying it's very earthy, and she doesn't trust it. She thinks the daffodils are hiding something.
So, dig it is a farcical.
And that means Britain's only female Spitfire pilot on gallantry and goats.
Yeah.
That'll be a genuine article, would it?
That would be a genuine article, yes.
Well, you're correct in that assumption, for
good.
It is. That's the only one that really made me laugh. But can you dig it, you say, is a farcical. So we need more doubt, but I could be wrong. Unfortunately, that is an article.
Yeah.
I also saw I saw one and I thought, oh, this would be brilliant. Anne Widdecombe versus Girl Gangs.
That's actually a TV show, though, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. It is a TV show, and I was very upset when I read it that it was a TV show.
It would actually be very weird if it was like some sort of Fox TV show of strength.
See, when I saw it, I thought girl gangs, and I thought girl bands, and I thought girls allowed, Anne Widdecombe versus girls allowed, because, you know, she does have the voice of a foghorn that would wake up a whole colony of Jean-Luc Picards.
That leaves crosswords and dig it.
Yeah, and you said dig it was a farcical?
I did say dig it was a farcical.
And you were wrong, sir.
Oh, for goodness sake.
And I win.
You were just playing to my...
Hatreds.
Oh.
I could read you a few of the clues from this month's crossword, if you like. It's very good, this week's one.
Okay.
Bridge player making Lear with card being wrongly dealt. 8.
Blamange.
Cry of deer heard? No. 5.
Stop.
Why?
Because
I seriously think that crosswords, nobody actually does them. And actually, it's all just weird spy clues.
They actually did used to use the crossword during the war to communicate with spies.
They say, kill Hitler. 4.
Yeah. You know, a bit more subtle than that, obviously. They'd have probably put a comma, perhaps. So, invade Normandy, perhaps.
8.
It would be 4, wouldn't it? No, it could be 8. Overlord. Anyway, I lost. I'm so used to losing, I don't care anymore. Next week, I'm going to do Article or Farcical, and we'll see how well you do.
You'd be rubbish against the Borg.
money section then. You haven't got one, have you?
I think my mum nicked it. Yeah. Well, this is what you shouldn't do. Never, after freshly buying a paper, put it on your mother's kitchen table, because she eats it and then scatters it, and then you have to go around looking for the special supplements. Fortunately, she didn't, you know, take my love and sex supplement, so I was quite relieved at that. But I think she took the money section, which just goes to show what a cynical lady my mother is.
I've got an article about how the winter fuel for pensioners' benefits isn't really a very good idea. It is the express, after all.
Yeah, let them freeze.
Well, yeah, I think about it. The older people get, the smaller and smaller they get, and they wear bigger and bigger hats because they're getting colder and colder. I think it's fair to say that Gordon Brown is trying to raise an army of Smurfs.
Because they'll be blue because they're cold?
Yeah.
How are you going to make sure that the hats are white, though?
Well, they don't have to be white. I'd quite like to see a tartan-hatted Smurf.
Yeah, but imagine a black-hatted Smurf. It'll be evil. And also, you have to convince the old generation to wear white leggings and no tops.
Well, it would be very good in a battle situation, though. People wouldn't be expecting that. Topless pensioners.
They would if they were Romans, because that's what the Celts used to do. They used to bleach their hair white and paint their faces blue.
How many Romans are there anymore?
There's loads.
There's Abramovich, isn't there? There's Roman Abramovich. He owns Chelsea, and they wear blue anyway.
Cool, blimey, a Chelsea smirk.
Which is not like a Chelsea smile.
No.
It's when you get kicked in the balls. The other thing is, I think, that Gordon Brown could be doing is that it's a truism that the older we get, the more conservative we get.
Right.
So I think he's actually trying to kill the Tory lead in the opinion polls.
I don't understand.
Well, because all the old people aren't going to survive the winter.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
On the other hand, aren't we all Tories now, says The Guardian. So...
That's true.
If Gordon Brown's wanting to win an election through genocide...
Yeah.
I think there are better ways to do it than just turning people into Smurfs.
We should have a satire alarm.
Whoop, whoop. Right, satire. Hey, Simon, the Lib Dems, yeah? What's the point of them?
Well, I've got a bit more satire, actually, if you want to hear it.
Go on, then.
The government policy kind of pales into insignificance when it stands next to David Cameron's latest radical initiative for combating the pensions crisis.
He's slick.
He's going to just play frisbee on a beach.
And then
when the cameras are all switched off, he's going to retire to a country estate where diamond-encrusted pensioners are going to be flung into the air like clay pigeons so that he can damn them to oblivion with two smoking barrels. Conservatives don't change. That's the nature of conservatism. So yes. I've come up with a slogan to remind us that it's all rubbish and that the Tories will never change and that the new branding of David Cameron is just branding. So here we go. This is my satirical slogan. You ready?
I'm giddy.
You can take the id out of Dave, but he'll always be a monster. It's Freudian sloganeering. That's what it is. The id is all your nasty, horrible nature.
Simon?
Yes?
That was crap.
Well, it was satire.
It was satire, but I think the main thing is to say that David Cameron is a vacuous hole of a man.
We've been literally inundated with correspondence this week.
Well, we've had a bit.
Well, we've had one.
We haven't had one. We've had more than one. We've only had one, Dear Izzy, which I'm very upset about. It's like nobody trusts me anymore.
You should write to yourself, Dear Izzy, I'm not getting enough Dear Izzy's.
And I'll say, well, appeal to Malcolm, because I want to know if he told Fiona or not.
I doubt he did. I suspect you managed to somehow ruin his life. Now, do you want to hear this, Dear Izzy?
Yeah, go on then.
Okay. Dear Izzy, I work with someone who constantly undermines my confidence by making jokes about my height, jokes about my looks, and jokes about my jokes. How can I get her to be nice to me? And that's from Stephen near Bristol.
Right, Stephen near Bristol. I think I know what you're trying to say. And all I can say is that if you were my friend, I'd be much nicer to you than that. And you're best off just not engaging with that person at all, because she sounds really horrible. And you're best off, you know, remembering that you're your own person and you're really happy in and of yourself. And you don't need her approval for anything. If your name's Simon, however, You're a bastard.
Are you suggesting I slip that in myself?
Now I'm thinking you've done a cynical thing and you're trying to undermine my confidence in my own abilities to call you a Now fuck off.
I got an idea.
What?
Why don't I read out one of the problems from my paper and you can respond to it?
Okay, that's a good idea.
I just need to find it first, so you need to talk.
Okay, listeners, by the way, thank you very much to people like Jenny Sainsbury, to people like Alan, to people like James, to people like Samantha, and to people like Caroline, who all write in and say how much they enjoy the show. Thank you very much. Keep telling your friends about it. Maybe they too will send me their problems, and I can make life socially awkward for everybody, which is my dream. Amen. You found it yet?
Yeah. I was hugely flattered when a younger colleague started flirting with me. I was getting over my divorce and welcomed the attention. Within weeks, we were sleeping together, and when he told me he was about to become homeless, I invited him to stay. We ended up living together for several months, during which time I paid all the bills. Now he says he's met a girl who is more on his wavelength, and he's leaving. I'm devastated. How am I ever going to trust again?
You're not. Get a cat. In fact, get several cats. And if you're allergic to cats, get those really weird naked ones.
Oh, they're horrible.
Yeah. Or just shave cats.
I think that should just be your
shave
stock answer.
Shave cats! There you go. You'll learn to trust again. Now, fuck off.
Right, well, there we go. I think we solved a lot of problems this week.
Yeah. Also, thank you to John and Tom as well for listening. Because we do get emails, but they're just nice. And we can't do much with nice. Send us sarky emails and we'll read them out. But if it's just like, hey, really like the show, then, well, yeah, obviously you do. We're brilliant. If you didn't like the show, write in. And then we can have a go.
So, yeah, sundaypodcast@hotmail.com.
Or you can go to our Facebook group page.
Or you could shave a cat.
Or you could visit our website, sundaysupplement.com.
Oh. I'd rather shave a cat.
You wouldn't. Our website's brilliant. There's a picture of you and me looking ugly.
Property, then.
Property!
Basically, the Express this week is just obsessed with how you can keep making money out of your house, even though, you know,
it's losing money.
Yeah. So they've got a couple of articles about what you can do now to keep your investment going. One is to give your home a facelift. Not right. Quite sure how Botox through the windowsills is going to do much, but they.
It'll make them all non-expressive, though, if you do that to the front of your house.
It's true.
It won't be able to smile anymore.
Well.
Or give a cheeky little wink.
The market is depressed.
That is true. And it's just going to, if anything, that's just going to make matters worse.
The other one is to renovate the loft, turn the loft into a master bedroom with an ensuite bathroom.
Weren't they doing attic conversions in, like, the 80s?
Yeah.
Has anybody got any space for their stuff anymore?
No.
Okay.
That's why you've got to have a second home.
That is true. Or one of the boom industries at the moment in the UK is storage units.
Yep.
Where you basically pay somebody to get all the stuff in your house and put it into a place where you can still access it, but never visit it.
The housing market bores me. Have you actually ever been to a housing market?
I have indeed. It was quite exciting. I've been to a super housing market.
Uh-huh.
And I tell you what, those trolleys are a bastard to push.
What? The street housing markets. Like, they have all the stalls and they put all the, like, really good-looking, lush properties out on display. And then when you ask for a house in Knightsbridge, they kind of just reach behind and just ladle a flat into a bag. I don't really like it. But when the market collapsed, that was quite tragic.
Yeah.
All those cheeky Cockney stallholders got crushed.
That is true. And all of their, you know, their change belts, they all went missing.
So there we go, that's the housing market and...
£2 for £1,000, £2 for £1,000, £2 for £4,000, £5,000. £2 million. Nice cheeky flat in Essex. Cheeky flat in Essex. Tower blocks, get the tower blocks here. Semi-detached. Last to go. Detached.
Finished.
Nice tits.
There was also an article in mine called Don't Let Your Estate Agent Treat You Like a Butt Monkey.
don't think there was.
No, there wasn't. That was, I made that bit up.
Imagine if there were such things as butt monkeys, how well they'll be treated. Because either it's going to be a very, very well-trained prostitute, in which case, you know, and a very rare one, so it's going to be well taken care of, or it's going to be a butt monkey in a zoo and have all its meals perfectly balanced and prepared. Either way, it's got to be better than being an estate agent.
I think butt monkeys would kind of be like the craze of having the Vietnamese potbelly pig.
All right, so everybody would get a little butt monkey.
That they hold under their arm, yeah.
The trouble is, you can't have a butt monkey would need quite a large enclosure, and you can't do that if already your garden is taken up with the Jean-Luc Picard cage.
That's true.
Because Jean-Luc Picard will attack a butt monkey. And
so there we go, that's property. What more can be said?
Engage.
Time to decide who has the superior supplements this week and to tell you which paper you should have bought last Sunday. And inevitably, what follows is a sentence by Izzy claiming that she's the best.
I'm king of the world.
Well.
Well, no, I am. And also, I should so deserve to win because I've actually got an actual supplement that came with mine called Love and Sex, Part 2 Seduction. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
It's just a really rubbish excuse for very, very softcore porn in order to boost sales.
What's wrong with a bit of titillation?
There's nothing wrong with a bit of titillation, but just call it titillation. Don't dress it up as some sort of
titillation. Social... Well, they didn't have any pictures of nakedness or anything like that. I mean, it's all quite intellectual. And it has a pair of... Well, it has...
It has a pair of on the front, does it?
Yeah, some big... red shoes, you know, for a chewing gum walk.
Chewing gum walk? Oh, like, as in Greece, you mean?
Yeah, except they also wore pink shoes, Simon, not red.
No, they wore pink jackets, and Sandy at the end of the film.
Anyway, why should
shoes.
You win? Why should you win with your awful express?
It's got Christopher Hitchens in it.
Yeah, but not in the supplements.
No, but it's near Christopher Hitchens.
What, just proximity to Christopher Hitchens? No, I will not have that.
All right,
why
should you win?
Not. I've got a robot on the cover of my my supplement, reading a book.
Why is there a robot reading a book?
Because it says the future of books.
So the future of books is that robots will read.
Yeah, you know, 1 1 0 1 1. Oh, it's so sad. 1 0 0 1. So meaningful. It's all 0 1 0 0 1.
To be honest, I think that pretty much the only thing we've talked about this week had nothing to do with our papers.
Which was Captain Jean-Luc Picard. It's not Data on the cover, by the way. It's a proper robot without a face.
Well, if you had Data and a love and sex supplement, there would be a fully functional joke there, wouldn't there?
Oh, yeah. There would be such a fully functional. Mm.
So, I'm not entirely sure why you win, but you do.
I do! Yay! Because I wear white contact lenses like Data.
Or a shark.
Or a shark. I would never try to put contact lenses on a shark. That, you need very, very skilled Jean-Luc Picard swooping down from the skies, plunging into the ocean to pick the best fish and also placing contact lens on a shark. So the shark looks really freaky. But punk sharks! Wow.
With Mohicans.
We could try Mohican.
And pierced gills.
Ow. I imagine that wouldn't be comfortable.
Well, what piercings are?
The sort you use to stare into somebody in a Dan Brown book.
Eh?
A piercing stare.
Oh, I see.
Something that Jean-Luc Picard would do if you tried to steal one of his eggs.
He'd pierce you.
No, he'd give you a piercing stare before beaking you.
So, on that note, the paper you should have bought last Sunday is...
Star Trek Generations.
The one that Izzy's got, and I can't remember what it is. The Independent.
Yes.
So there we go. Join us next week when we'll be talking about something.
If you're in Bristol, by the way, today, it would be today, you should go and see Simon's show because he's doing
a
show in Bristol.
Unless you're listening to this on Thursday or Friday or Saturday or 2 months down the line when you've only just discovered the podcast and you're listening to them all in one long...
Back to back, like some sort of mentalist.
Yeah.
Like somebody going, well, actually, you've done quite a lot of similar papers. Why can't we get the Sunday Mirror or something, which you hardly ever do? Well, it's because we can't. I'm I'm not feeling very well. I think it's the Jean-Luc Picards coming to get me. Can you imagine, like, Alfred Hitchcock's the Picards?
With Picard's beak just tapping at the window.
Yeah. Sail out into the middle of a lake and get attacked by a load of Picards.
Bye.
No, don't leave me. Bye.
Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.